Hungary joined the European Union in 2004. It was one of eight nations in Central and Eastern Europe which agreed to be governed under EU laws. But in recent years, Brussels and Budapest have not seen eye to eye. The Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orbán says his policies are based on conservative, Christian and patriotic values, while many in the EU and elsewhere say his government promotes homophobic, xenophobic and anti-democratic, even authoritarian values. The European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen has called Hungary's new law on LGBTQ rights shameful. The Dutch Prime Minister Mark Rutte says Hungary has no place in the EU anymore, while Luxembourg's Foreign Minister has called for a referendum on whether Hungary should even remain part of the EU. But what's been the response from the Hungarian government? Its foreign minister says these remarks are fueled by what he calls hungrophobia. So, after the UK's exit from the European Union, could there now be a Huxit? The Hungarian Foreign Minister, Peter Szijjártó, talks to Al Jazeera.
Peter Szijjártó, Foreign Minister of Hungary, thank you for talking to Al Jazeera and talking to us again. This is the third time I've had you on this programme, and it seems that every time that I sit down with you, your country is involved in a major row with the rest of the European Union. Right now, it's about teaching of LGBTQ issues in school. We'll discuss that in a moment. But first, why does Hungary always seem to find itself in dispute with what are supposed to be your closest allies?
Look, the European Union has been faced with tremendous challenges in the recent years because of many reasons, because of the migratory pressure, because of economic issues, because of the answers to the pandemic, because of the different approaches about how the future European Union should look like, whether it should be a federalistic one or more based on strong member states. So it's kind of natural currently in the European Union that there are debates going on. And sometimes debates are more emotional than they should be. It has personal reasons, it has structural reasons. But, you know, you say that we are in a row with Brussels, with the European institutions. The thing is that there's a procedure in the European Union which is called the infringement, which means that if you are not aligning with some common regulation, then a procedure is being launched against you. And we are somewhere in the middle in the European Union regarding the number of these procedures. If I'm not mistaken, even Germany does have more procedures going on with the European Union.
The argument may
Union.
Be that some of the disputes that you're involved in are seen by some of your other member states as more serious.
No, that can be one reason. The other reason can be that these issues where we are in such a debate are more symbolic, more ideological, let's put it this way. And you know me very well, we have met a couple of times, you have already mentioned it, you know our government, we have been in office for 11 years now, 11 and a half, so everybody knows us. Everybody knows that we are a very conservative, Christian, democratic, patriotic type of government, which definitely goes against the international liberal mainstream. And I think the fact that we go against the, or opposite to the international liberal mainstream, puts us in a focus of the attention, and maybe this is the reason why these debates between Brussels and us are being highlighted so much by some actors.
Okay, latest dispute concerns legislation banning the depiction of homosexuality and gender transition to those under 18. Why do you need this law?
It was not the full spectrum what you have quoted. So we made a regulation which says that the education of the children under the age of 18 regarding sexual orientation and sexual issues is the exclusive right of the parents. This means that direct sexual and pornographic content, homosexual promotion of homosexuality, promotion
of changing... That's not pornographic, is it?
There was a comma. Okay. So direct pornography, direct sexual content, promotion of homosexuality, promotion of changing gender. These are forbidden when it comes to children. Because, you know, we think it was unacceptable that certain NGOs, LGBT activists, just simply went to schools and kindergartens and started to explain things to our children, which the parents wanted to do themselves, you know, in a way which is suitable for their children, at an age when it's suitable for their children. So no one knows better our children than the parents, right? There's no compromise from our side, so we'll never give up this exclusive right of the parents.
Despite the comments that have come from senior figures in Brussels, the European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen, shameful. The Netherlands Prime Minister Mark Rutte said following this, your country has no place in the European Union. What's your reaction to that from one of the founding members of the EU and one of the biggest economies in the EU?
Yeah, Mark Rutte suffers from very serious Hungarophobia. This is very clear, putting into consideration his former statements. It is not Mark Rutte to say who is member of European Union and who is not member of the European Union. First, he should deal with his own issues back in the Netherlands. He proved to be unsuccessful in creating a government for long months now. So first do his own job back at home and then comment issues of other countries. And when it comes to Mrs. von der Leyen, you know, I think it is shameful that she speaks about Hungarian legislation this way. European court is about to look into this law because the European Commission launched procedure against us there. And, you know, announcing a result of a procedure which has not started yet brings us back to the old dictatorship of communism. So I think this is shameful how she behaved regarding this issue.
It seems now that you're going to have a referendum on this
year. Next year, yeah.
And that seems to be a pattern, doesn't it? That your Prime Minister, Viktor Orban, pushes things. He pushes things right to the edge, and then perhaps he gives a little at the end, but takes the gains that he's got in the meantime. That's his way of operating, isn't it?
You know, when you mentioned our debates within the European Union and the criticism of other EU member states towards us, one of the major criticism is, of course, has no let's say basis, but that the Hungarian democracy is not well functioning. Now, what is the meaning of democracy? It is that the people do have the right to make their own decision about the future of themselves, future of nation, future of the country. And one of the most direct way of expressing their opinion is referendum. So, you know, challenging the right of the Hungarian people to go on a referendum on such an issue is very anti-democratic. So please respect the decision and the right of the Hungarian people to decide.
And your critics say that the referendum will have leading questions. And let me just put this point to you about democracy.
I don't agree with that.
Let me put this point to you about democracy. The 2020 annual report of Freedom House, the influential NGO, concluded there have been so many steady incursions against Hungarian freedoms, the country no longer met its definition of a democracy.
To be honest, I don't care, because it's not the Freedom House to judge the Hungarian democracy. None of the Freedom House activists have fought for our independence, for our sovereignty. It was us to fight against occupiers. It was us to fight for freedom. It was us to fight for the sovereignty of the country. The Prime Minister who is leading now the country was the first political person to be brave enough to urge the Soviet troops to leave our homeland, you know. So judging Hungarian democracy is not the job of Freedom House activists. And by the way, this organization you mentioned is a politically biased organization, so their statements make no sense because they are not based on facts. Those are based on a political ideology. They are super liberal and they hate what we are doing in our country. But since they are not registered in the Hungarian voters catalog, it doesn't really matter what they say.
In terms of COVID-19, the European Commission is giving funds to EU countries from their pandemic recovery fund, about $950 billion. 16 member states have had their plans approved. 7 are still being evaluated, including Hungary and Poland. Do you think you're being punished?
Obviously, this is a political issue. We were really at the edge of the agreement. Mrs. Ursula von der Leyen has asked for an appointment in Budapest. She wanted to come, so she was looking at the dates when she could have come to announce the approval of our recovery plan. We were at the edge of the agreement, but then the Hungarian parliament has passed this law on the protection of the rights of the parents in order to teach their children or educate their children regarding sexual orientation. And immediately after that, they pulled the handbrake and they said, okay, then the recovery plan is not going to be approved. So it's a clearly a political move. 7.2 billion euros, which is our money, is being withheld by the or held back by the European Commission. Poland is in the same kind of shoes, but we went on the bond market, and 4.2 billion euros. We issued bonds for 4.2 billion euros. So it doesn't make sense to blackmail us because we have our own funds, our own financial assets. But you are right, this is purely a political issue.
And there are so many issues that Hungary and the EU have clashed on in the past, whether it be media freedom, rule of law, judiciary. You've got Article 7 proceedings that have been put out against you. Now, let's just explain Article 7 proceedings. Potentially, the sanctions could include having your voting rights.
Yeah, us and Poland again.
Withdrawn. But you know the EU. This is a very, very slow, convoluted process. Is that the advantage you have? You know that the EU processes take so long, they're never going to go anywhere.
We had a different initiative. We have asked the presidency to go on a vote, finally. Because all questions were raised, all answers were given. We know the motivation of the questions. We know the answers. There will be no new things popping up. So we have asked the former presidency, Portugal, to go on a vote and close this whole issue. But they didn't do it. And I know why. I know why. You need unanimity in this regard. And they know that there would be at least one or even more member states who would not vote in favor of the Article 7 procedure to pass against Hungary. And in case of Poland, there will be a couple countries voting in favor of Poland as well. For example, us. By the way, so the reason why this procedure is not being closed is not only that the European Union is generally slow, but because they don't want to close it because they know that it wouldn't pass.
Let's turn to the media, and most of the media in Hungary is friendly to the Orbán government.
Oh, I wish it was the case. I wish it. That would be really great. That would be really great. Unfortunately, this is not the situation.
Okay. Well, let me bring up a new allegation about media, which is that Hungary has been using spy software from the Israeli company NSO, and it's been targeting, for example, one investigative journalist had two of his phones that were hacked. He was someone who was investigating Hungary's richest man, just happens to be a childhood friend of Viktor Orbán. Why did the authorities spy on this journalist, and who else are you spying on?
Look, I think it's obvious that all security services of all countries use different technological applications, let's put it this way, to conduct their duties, namely protecting the security of the country and security of the citizens.
So absolutely fine. Spying on a journalist, is that absolutely
no, come
fine?
On. I'll finish it. Of course, I will never comment on what kind of technologies we are using because there's no country who would reveal what kind of technologies their security services are losing, because then we, it would be a national security kind of problem. The question is always whether these kind of equipments, whether these kind of technologies are used in line with the regulations and the laws or not. And what I can tell you is that since we have been in office, so for the last 11 years, we have used all these kind of applications and technologies in line with the regulations. Everybody can be sure about that. And I can also tell you that we never wiretape or bug anybody because of profession. So being a journalist is not a reason to be wiretaped. I don't know whether these guys have been wiretaped or not because I don't have information about that. But I can assure you once again that just because of being a journalist, you will be not bugged and you will be not wiretaped.
Let's move to an issue for which your government is certainly known, which is the issue of migration. Mm-hmm. And we've talked in the past about 2015 and people leaving Syria, refugees leaving Syria, and Hungary would be very keen for them not to come to Hungary. Mm-hmm. People have now, in recent weeks, been leaving Afghanistan after the fall of the government there and the takeover by the Taliban. Hungary accepted 540 Afghans. Mm-hmm. Then you closed the door. Why?
Yeah.
Why?
First of all, regarding the evacuation, you know, it was our moral obligation to evacuate those who have worked with our troops, who have helped our troops. You know, we had hundreds of troops in the framework of the Resolute Support Mission in Afghanistan.
You were in Kabul and you were also in Puli Kumri in the north.
In different times. Yeah.
Yeah.
And after the Americans made a decision to pull out, we of course acted accordingly. So we have pulled out our troops, but there were a couple hundreds of Afghans who have helped us during our stay there. So it was a moral obligation to evacuate them. We did it. We did it. So they are in Hungary. But we don't want to take any more Afghans in Hungary. We will not take any more Afghans. I really regret that similar kind of mistakes have been repeated, which have been committed back in 2015, when there was a kind of open invitation on behalf of Europe, and we have seen the outcome. The border guards who are protecting the southern border of Hungary are now reporting that basically everybody who appears at our border and would like to violate it, and you know, there are dozens of attempts on a daily basis to violate our border, they all consider themselves as Afghans. Of course, they don't have any travel document, but everybody considers him or herself as Afghans. The similar situation back in 2015, everybody considered him or herself as Syrian at our border. Of course, no documents, no papers, nothing. So I think that the mistakes of 2015 should not be repeated, and I hope that they will not be repeated on behalf of the European Union.
Another controversial issue from the past was your education law targeting foreign-owned universities. The Central European University had to relocate most of its operations to Vienna from
Budapest.
No, it's not
true. Not true.
Most of its operations.
No. A very, very small slice of their operation. You know, we have passed the regulation. Parliament has passed the regulation. The regulation says, I think it's fair, that foreign universities can issue a graduation on behalf of another country only in case they have a school there also. So regarding the Hungarian accreditation of the Central European University, there was never a problem. They could always operate according to the Hungarian accreditation. They could always issue Hungarian graduation. What they can't do under the new regulation is that they can't issue American graduation.
But you know what people say. They say that you're targeting the Central European University because it's backed by George Soros, the philanthropist, who is Hungarian born, who is someone who seems to be a particular enemy of your prime minister.
He is very heavily against us, that's right. But this regulation has nothing to do with it.
And some say it's double standards now that you're inviting in a Chinese university, Fudan University.
But to be honest, I don't know why these two issues are confused. I don't know what's the common in these two
foreign
things.
Foreign universities operating. You seem to be very unhappy at one, you're welcoming in the Chinese. In fact, you know, this is the biggest sort of, you know, higher education operation anywhere in the EU that's coming to Hungary.
Regarding Fudan University, Fudan University is among the best universities of the world. They have very strong cooperation with American universities, many of them. So my question is that if the American universities cooperate with Fudan, it's fine. If Fudan would like to establish a school in Budapest, it's a problem.
It's part, though, of an outreach to China that seems to exist from Hungary. You seem to be pretty friendly to China.
We have a good cooperation. You
bought the vaccines from China. I mean, that may have been a necessity. You bought the Sinopharm vaccine. Also, let me take you back to April, when the European Union was trying to put forward a strong statement on the new security law in Hong Kong, a place where media freedom has been curtailed, demonstrations have been curtailed, democracy is under threat. It was Hungary that blocked it.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you supporting China so strongly, particularly on Hong Kong?
First, yes, we would like to have a good cooperation with China. We work a lot on that. It is very beneficial for us to have good cooperation with China. We could increase our trade, our exports by 50% during the first half of the year. Last year, China brought the most investments to Hungary, representing high technological standards and a high rate of added value. So we are happy with the cooperation. On the other hand, what I see is that that the Western European countries make much bigger deals with China than we do. So whenever Western European leaders meet the Chinese leadership, there are always contracts to an extent of tens of billions of euros or dollars being signed. So please do not portray us as if we were the only ones who wants to build a good cooperation with China. All European, most of the European countries do it, especially the big Western European ones. Now on the statement, you know, I think European Union should not make itself ridiculous. But you make yourself ridiculous when you pass resolutions on the same issue in a very unsuccessful manner. So we have passed eight resolutions on China in the recent 1 or 2 years, always with the same result, which was zero. So my question was that is it really the foreign policy of European Union that now we issue the ninth statement on the same issue without any kind of outcome? So I said let's think more strategically about our relationship to China and let's postpone a little bit, issuing resolutions because it's obvious that it doesn't work.
As things stand right now, does Hungary have better relations with China than it does with some of its EU partners?
You know, it's uncomparable because we are in the European Union. We have a very tight relationship with all EU member states. We meet once a month, always. But we have a very.
But some of them want you kicked out.
Sorry,
some of them want you kicked out. We just talked about Mr. Rutte.
But it's not. It not depends on what they want. But we have a very fair and very good cooperation with China also. And I personally work on enhancement of this relationship, obviously, because we take a lot of profit out of it.
One of the newspapers in Hungary recently, in the last month or so, put out an editorial, "It's time to talk about Huxit." Mm-hmm. Now, this was a newspaper that's normally seen to be on the government's side. Is there any discussion about Hungary leaving the EU?
No,
because
no,
you have so many problems with the EU.
No, obviously, there's not such a discussion. Hungary's interest is European Union to be strong. We are having the 11th most open economy of the world. Our export over GDP ratio exceeds 83%. And 78-79% of our exports are heading the European Union. So it's obvious that we want European Union to be strong again.
Yeah, I get the economics. You love the single market.
Yeah, of course.
But you don't seem to stick to the rules or share its values.
Yeah, we do share the values. The question is, what are the values? Because we are sharing the original values of the founding fathers of the European Union. We definitely don't share some values which are now being put forward by the liberal mainstream. For example, we will never support the concept of the so-called United States of Europe, because this is something that we wouldn't like. We want a strong European Union to be based on strong member states.
Some people who do seem to share your values right now are here, and we're speaking in New York. The Republican Party in the US seems to have a love-in with Hungary right now. The letter to Prime Minister Orbán from Donald Trump in August: "I'm grateful for your continued friendship and enduring commitment to fighting for the ideals you and I cherish, freedom, patriotic pride and liberty." Why do you think there seems to be this, right now, in the last few months, this outpouring of admiration for your country?
Look, Prime Minister Orbán and President Trump really made friendship. When it comes to major issues like migration, Christianity, protecting the Christian communities, the values in family and all this kind of stuff, President Trump and Prime Minister Orbán had a similar kind of approach, and that made them friends. I'm in a very good relationship with Jared Kushner. I will meet him in New York during the UNGA week, and we are very happy about this connection.
Does this make your relations difficult right now then? Because the occupant of the White House is President Joe Biden.
Yeah, of course. You know, we respect the decision of the American people. I mean, we work together with the administration which is in power. We hope that this administration will respect the cooperation with Hungary and will have the willingness to upgrade this relationship. We are definitely ready for it. Our troops are fighting shoulder to shoulder in many parts of the world. When U.S. established the anti-ISIS coalition, we joined immediately. We are there on the Western Balkans. We are a reliable NATO partner. U.S. has the second largest investing community in Hungary. U.S. is the number two trading partner of ours outside of the European Union. So it's a robust relationship. Only one part of it is in relationship with direct politics.
You have an election coming up next year. As you say, Mr. Orban this time has been president for prime minister for 11 years. The opposition parties...
Plus 4 years before.
Plus 4 years before. The opposition parties are all getting together this time.
Yeah.
You are facing a more formidable challenge. We're not clear entirely who is going to be the opposition candidate for prime minister, although the mayor of Budapest, Gergely Kashan, is one of the possibilities.
Yeah, he is
and is seen as quite a formidable candidate. Given what happened in the US and your friend Donald Trump didn't seem to accept defeat, is this going to be a fair election in Hungary? And if you end up being beaten, will you accept it?
Since 1990, since we have free and fair elections, we always had free and fair elections, and this is going to be the case next year also. And let's leave it to the voters to decide.
Péter Szijjártó, Foreign Minister of Hungary. Thank you for talking to Al Jazeera.
Thank you very much.